Good morning. I want to say good afternoon because I'm used to doing the evening drive all the time. But it's morning, isn't it? And I'm still trying to be awake. But I hope you're doing well out there as you're listening this morning. This is His Time on Worldwide KFUO. I'm Pastor Craig D'Onofrio, sitting in for Andy Bates. And, you know, we're celebrating our 90th year of broadcasting the gospel at Worldwide KFUO. And we are celebrating 90 years and 90 days. And this week we have a brand new t-shirt out that has a picture of Martin Luther on it, listening to his iPhone with the earbuds on. And on the iPhone is the Worldwide KFUO app, which you can also get. And it says iLutheran on it. And it's celebrating 90 years of our broadcasting. If you'd like to get this t-shirt, we're suggesting a donation of $90, and we will send you the shirt and our gratitude. If you just want to buy the shirt and not make a donation on top of that, it's $15, and it's a very nice shirt, good sturdy construction, and you can get that at kfuo.org. If you would like to make a donation to KFUO, you can certainly contact Joni or Mary at our website at kfuo.org, and they'll be sure to help you out there. Also, be sure to like us on Facebook, facebook.com/KFUO, and there we are. Anyway, we are happy this morning to have with us Reverend Dan McMiller from Office of International Missions. He's a recruiter, the director of recruitment. There, I've got it straight. My tongue doesn't work so well this morning, Dan. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Pastor D'Onofrio. Good to be here.
Good to have you here. You are not just a recruiter, but you have done mission work for the better part of your adult life, from what I understand.
Right. In 1985, I was called in the ELS to serve in South America. So we were in, my wife Lisa and I were in Peru for 7 years, and then Chile from 85 to 95. And I colloquized into the Missouri Synod in 1995. My dad was a 1955 graduate of St. Louis and a Missouri Synod pastor. Long story how I ended up in the ELS. And then took a call back when I colloquized. I served in South Wisconsin in Watertown and served also at the same time as I was in a parish there with the South Wisconsin District in Hispanic ministry on their task force, chaired their task force and worked with Hispanic ministries and as much as possible. Then took a call to Panama in 1999 to 2003. And then from there, urban ministry and a mission executive for the South Wisconsin District for another 9 years, and working with immigrant ministry, Hispanic ministry, prison, campus, deaf, but primarily in urban. The work of South Wisconsin District was really focused at that time with immigrant ministry and urban ministry, and that was a wonderful opportunity to work with African immigrants, Asian, Hispanic, island nation immigrants, and our urban churches. And then 2 years with Luther Academy as an executive director, where mm-hmm. we conducted last year 20 conferences around the world.
Wow.
Many of those in close conjunction, all of them in close coordination and with the blessing of the Office of International Missions. And now for about a year helping with recruitment, now the executive director or the director of recruitment for international missions.
It's good to have you at the international headquarters here, the IC.
Great to be here.
You started out in Lima, Peru as a young man, mm-hmm. and did you major in Spanish or
no?
Why no. South America?
Well, I was my first call out of seminary was also by the mission board. I've been with missions directly for all 30 years, and when the call came, it was pretty quickly something that I felt convinced to do. But languages come pretty easily to me. And in Peru, we had wonderful education. And with missionaries today, as we recruit missionaries, we provide opportunity for immersion, mm-hmm. intensive training. We just have two new missionaries to Africa, and Micah Wildauer and also Jacob Gaugert received his newsletter, or support letter this morning in the emails. And they are in Togo. Micah Wildauer, Pastor Wildauer, and his wife Robin are going to be 6 months in France studying mm-hmm. French. And Missionary Gaugert, Jacob Gaugert, had French in the past, but you don't have to be a great linguist. You should feel comfortable with working in the biblical languages if you are a pastor. Mm-hmm. And when I first went to Peru in 1985, the missionary said, well, you speak English well. You'll learn Spanish.
So. I could only imagine. I you say immersion, and I'm just thinking you give them $5 and drop them off in the middle of Peru and say,
that would
find
work.
Your way home.
That would work.
how does that work? How does the immersion for languages work?
Well, typically, you find a good school. Remember, it does make a difference on what type of schooling you have, education you have, what type of curriculum, what kind of teachers. And for about 5 hours a day, hopefully, you have one-on-one instruction with my wife and I. My wife and I had it one-on-two for the first 3 months. Then we were sent out among the with the missionaries. Even during those first 3 months of immersion, or 5 hours a day, I should say, every afternoon and evening, you were still immersed in the language. What I typically did was just hung with the missionaries the remainder of the day and went anywhere they were going. Usually what helped me, a trick that helped me, and I don't know why I did it, I don't know how it started, but I tried to repeat silently but enunciating with a silent voice with my lips the very words I heard spoken before me all the time. So I got used to, at least in my mind's ear, to hear what they were saying. Then after 3 months of that, actually I started teaching the catechism after 3 months of instruction. And that's wonderful because you know the catechism.
Mm-hmm.
You know the catechism from memorizing as a youth. And so when you go to teach it to a child, as I had this class of young people, they were patient and loving and thrilled to have this new gringo teaching them the catechism. And then after that, we went back for a month of additional intensive. I had had a semester in college. My wife had had it in high school. So we picked it up quickly. But you do work hard. You do work hard at it. It's something that you should take very seriously. It's for the sake of the communication of the gospel, to have your teaching clear and sound and biblical and in accordance with our confession, and great mentors. It helps to have wonderful pastor mentors who can help you. A couple of the missionary wives were native Hispanics and language teachers, but the immersion is simply that. Today you have a little bit of a disadvantage because many of our missionaries are connected globally with internet and might even have cable TV. My goodness, when we were in Peru, about once a month, I'd go and buy a five-day-old Miami Herald for about $5 at a coffee shop and at least check on the football scores. That was my only contact with English. But today, there's a temptation to perhaps use English more than you need to. However, in a lot of places around the world, English is the language, as in the case of Africa. So you can use your native tongue.
About a year ago, I was on a plane and I sat down next to a young guy who's a college student. He's doing graduate work. And, you know, we're just chatting. And I said, oh, where are you from? He said, Moscow. I said, Russia? He said, yeah. And I said, you
Moscow, Indiana or something.
Yeah, I'm like, Iowa or, you know. And he's I said, you have no accent. And he said, my parents were diplomats, but I grew up watching American television. And so I learned to speak by watching American television and mimicking what I heard on TV.
Mimic it.
And this guy had no discernible accent. Yes. It was amazing to me. And he'd only been in America for like a year, a year and a half, something like that. So that immersion is really important. But you're here today to talk about the need for missionaries in Africa. Before we get into the need, what's going on in Africa that we need missionaries for Africa?
Well, President Harrison's spoken about it, and many times, and appropriately so, that we do have, as he used the phrase, a tectonic shift. Today, you could say that the demographic center of Lutheranism in the world today is Africa. There are over 20 million Lutherans there, and these Lutherans go to church. They're active in their churches. And these congregations are growing. Another huge phenomenon in Africa is the growth of the Christian church. Now, there is a demographic growth. Africa is growing at a faster rate biologically than any other place on earth. But Christianity is keeping pace. Today, there are approximately 46 to 48% of the people in Africa are Christian, whereas Muslim is in the low 40%. We're keeping pace with the growth. A lot of the growth is biological, but not all of it. There is conversion growth, large conversion growth. And that's a concern. It's a wonderful thing. It's something to rejoice in, but a concern as well, as this growth does not have the opportunity to, or the proper pastoral care to study the scriptures and understand the gospel in its purity. So a lot of this growth is conversion, rapid conversion growth, without the opportunity for what even non-Lutherans are referring to, non-Lutheran missionaries are referring to, proper catechesis in the Christian faith. So there's this tremendous growth. I was listening or visiting with missionary Rock Rohr as he came back, and he said that over the last 12 years, there's been a growth of approximately 140 million Christians on the continent of Africa.
Wow.
That's 12 million a year. You do the math. That's 35,000 people a day are becoming Christian in Africa. Can you imagine that? 35,000 people a day. Well, these people need pastors. And the pastors need proper theological education. And our Lutheran partners and emerging Lutheran partners do not have enough men with the proper background and education to teach in their Bible schools that are preparatory for church work in general, and then later, of course, in the seminary. So they're pleading and asking for help. And in our organizational chart today, while we have many, many positions that are not clergy positions, in fact, eventually there'll be more non-clergy than clergy in the African mission field. Today, we have 35 pastor positions in Africa and the continent that are needed. And that's just, what can 35 pastors do when we speak of the numbers previously
mentioned? There are 35,000 a day coming to the church. Yeah. We need to take a break. We're talking with Pastor Dan McMiller, who is the Director of Missionary Recruitment for the Office of International Missions here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We'll be right back as we find out more about the need for missionaries in Africa.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on behalf of Concordia Plan Services, Lutheran Church Extension Fund, the LCMS Foundation, Lutheran Housing Support Corporation, Concordia University System, and Corporate Synod, daily reaches out to our members and partners, working together to support our local, global, and international ministries, church workers, and LCMS initiatives at large to carry the mission forward and to serve each other in love. Opportunities to serve, lcms.org/jobsboard.
Retirement, a college education, buying a home, the big decisions in life require a great deal of thought and discussion. That's why nearly 2.5 million members turn to Thrivent Financial for Lutherans for financial advice. We'll develop a financial strategy to help you reach your goals, and we'll provide advice to keep your financial program on track with your dreams. To find a Thrivent Financial representative, call 314-783-4200.
Registered representatives for securities offered through Thrivent Investment Management Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC.
Let Worldwide KFUO help you get the word out about your next church, school, or organization event. By including your event in the KFUO datebook, it will be announced on the air throughout the day. Send your event information via email to jennyw@kfuo.org. That's jennyw@kfuo.org. Or call 314-996-1515. Be sure to include date, time, location, and contact information. The KFUO datebook is a public service of listener-supported Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Good morning. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO. I'm Pastor Craig D'Onofrio, sitting in for Andy Bates as he's off at a conference this week. But it's a pleasure to be with you. With us in studio is Pastor Dan McMiller, Director of Missionary Recruitment from the Office of International Missions at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, or you can just say OIM at LCMS, which is a lot of acronyms. It sounds like we are in the military or something.
Yes, it does.
They throw out the, did you get your XYK form from the BJS and the LMCP or something? But anyway. So we're talking about Africa and the need for missionaries, but there are a bunch of ideas that we have about missionaries, I think, that the paradigm is not the same as maybe it once was, where we just send a bunch of white guys over to Africa to be the pastors until they die and then they're out of luck. But that's not really the deal anymore, is it? We're raising up pastors from their midst. How is that working?
Well, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is a bit new at international missions. We're not that old of a church body, and our work internationally has grown tremendously. However, we are learning, and with a changing landscape, the missionary isn't what we were perhaps imagine him to be from memoirs or things we read or heard about in our youth. Today, because the Lutheran Church partners in Africa and our emerging Lutheran Church partners there, they are being blessed with rapid growth and increasing numbers within their church. They do not need us to go and plant churches. They have the opportunity. They have graduates in Bible schools. They have men and women wanting to do this with great fervor, but they lack teachers. And so for those Bible schools and seminaries. So a pastor can serve in Africa in a teaching capacity, while we also do other work with our partner churches in the different countries on the continent of Africa. But we aren't going in as missionary to daughter church. We're going in more as brothers and sisters in Christ serving a partner church, and we follow their lead. Even our regional directors or area directors who help set the strategic plan, Dr. Al Culver works with them from the Office of the President and an Office of International Missions and helping develop a strategic plan. That in and of itself is done only on the basis of careful conversation, dialogue, and wealth of knowledge that we acquire from the leadership, whether it's an archbishop or a president or a bishop of a synod, as in the case of the Church in Madagascar or the Church in Tanzania. We work with them directly in developing a short-term, that might be a couple-year, or a long-term strategy for help that includes, of course, witness and mercy, and then helping them with different programs that lead to life together, all, of course, flowing from altar, pulpit, and font. It's sacramental. It's a sacramental emphasis of the church for them and for us. So these leaders ask us how we can help, but they also tell us what they need. We don't come in and demand. And that's a real neat phenomenon, Craig, that we know that there are a lot of missionaries taken from the field 15 years ago or so. And there were many factors involved in that, not to revisit that. But now as we go back at the invitation and blessing and in collaboration and careful planning with these partner churches, whether it be Latin America, Asia, Eurasia, East Asia, South Asia, or Africa, wherever it may be, it's a totally different relationship than we had 15 years ago. When, for example, in the 70s, on the island in Papua New Guinea, there were as many as 70 missionaries in that country alone, 70. And it was our mission, the church there. It was our mission. We were in charge. Now, as we go back, we say, how may we help you? And we only enter into that dialogue with their invitation. What are your needs? What are your priorities? Where do you need help? And time again, wherever it may be, particularly in Africa, they say, we need help now, especially in preparing church workers, not just pastors, but primarily pastors because of the great growth and the need for the solid proclamation of the gospel. Secondly, they say, we need help in our Lutheran identity. There is a lot of change going on in Lutheranism, global Lutheranism, where the Global North and the Lutheran World Federation and different church bodies who may have planted these churches in the past have departed from Scripture, and their daughter churches, which are now dynamic, large, growing, with huge infrastructure, well-resourced or not, they are saying, wait, Mother Church, we no longer can walk with you. And they're coming to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and saying, help us understand better how to stand on the Word of God in a way, of course, which rings true to our Lutheran confession, because we believe that is directly from the Word of God and points to the saving grace of God in Jesus Christ that is indeed for our forgiveness of sins and for our resurrection unto life everlasting. It's focused on the cross.
I just spoke with Pastor Charlie Froh, who is in Kenya, and he's teaching at a seminary over there for Lutherans. And he was saying that some of the big problems that they face over there is the spiritism that's infused with their Christianity, that they haven't really shed the old witchcraft ways and all of that. So, you know, yes, we go to church, we believe in Jesus, but when my daughter gets sick, we still go to the shaman and he waves a dead chicken over her head or something like that, you know? And so this is a real problem. And I imagine that it's only with well-trained pastors that the church can deal with this in a good way. Is that the case that, you know, we just need pastors over there that are trained better, that can catechize, that can explain this is not godly, what's going on here?
Yes, and much of the growth in Africa is that of which you speak. People take a short walk from the natural religion, what years ago we would probably call paganism, and move and transition quite easily into what is a predominant movement in Africa, and that is Pentecostal church growth. Mm-hmm. And outwardly, the Pentecostal church, of course, in a syncretistic way, their worship or their gathering together visibly and audibly appears very much like the pagan worship that they left. Mm-hmm. Now, that makes it an easy transition, but there is indeed no comfort from the gospel.
Sure.
And that's the bottom line. You can speak to the African pastors who were part of that movement and now have been blessed with the opportunity to study God's word, beginning with Luther's Small Catechism. And though they were, quote unquote, evangelical, that is, Pentecostal pastors for years, once they read the catechism, they say, my goodness, I wasn't a Christian. Mm. I did not have the peace of the gospel. So what Pastor Froh was doing in Matongo, serving there in that seminary of our partner church, an Evangelical Lutheran Church of Kenya, is teaching young men who come from that background and from more than just Kenya. They come from other neighboring countries, even all the way from the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And they do come from that background. I'll tell you one story of a pastor, Guy Kasongo Kaveo, who's an immigrant from the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Mm-hmm. And he was given a catechism by a co-worker of mine, a brother in the ministry, Pastor Christian Okechukwu Ekani from Nigeria. And Pastor Ekani of the South Wisconsin District, very engaged in the African movement, was African immigrant community, was always distributing Luther's Small Catechism. And one day, Guy Kasongo Kaveo walked into my office. I had met him several times and encouraged him in his use of the catechism. He said, Pastor Dan, I've read Luther's Small Catechism. I want to become a Lutheran pastor. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, Guy, you're never going to get a check from me, a salary. I said, I can help you a lot of ways. I can give you help you find a place to gather your people for worship, perhaps, in one of our many churches in the Milwaukee area. We can provide you mentoring. We can help you get theological education. I can put you into accredited programs. We can provide for you seminary education and give you years of study. I can help you in many ways, but you'll never receive a paycheck from me as a missionary of our church. And that was a concern because we did have immigrant pastors with that role. And he said, I'd love a paycheck, but that's not why I'm here. I've read Luther's Small Catechism, and I want more. And he said, my years as a pastor in the Congo were not well-grounded on the Word of God. It was a Pentecostal background. And to speak to those men themselves and hear from their lips what you described is irrefutable, mm-hmm. What the churches want is clear instruction in the Word, so that syncretism that does not bring comfort and joy, especially in sickness and suffering and in death, that distinction can be made by the Holy Spirit through His Word, and these men can point others to that same saving grace in Christ Jesus through and through proper instruction. And the important thing for us to remember is, and I think this has to be repeated over and over again, that we need missionaries and we need pastors in these places that are thoroughly grounded. I think of who did the Lord Jesus Christ call to be a missionary to the Gentiles? It was Paul, the most the best trained among the apostles, who studied with the greatest teachers of the Old Testament available at that time in Judaism. And so we too want to have missionaries and partner churches who stand on the front line in the battles against Satan and with hardships and suffering. Africa is not an easy place to be for anyone, but particularly in the church.
You were telling me during the break that we have a new raft of missionaries who actually really want to go to Africa. I know with all of the Ebola scare and all of that in Western Africa, is that a big deterrent for most people? I know it would scare the heck out of me. I'd be saying maybe South Africa would be okay for me. Just get me as far away from that as you can, right?
Well, we have a couple new families in West Africa, but we're taking great care. The area director with Dr. Culver, Pastor David Erber, is in close contact with everyone regarding the Ebola issues. And we're not going to send anyone into a situation that's dangerous. We're very careful of that and other security issues. But we walk in danger all the way, as the hymn says. And if you're called to a certain work and you've taken the proper precautions, you trust in the Lord's care and protection, and you take great comfort in that call. But we are recruiting for West Africa, and there are, in an amazing way, people who say, I'm willing to go. I'm willing to go. We have two mature couples who have wonderful experience, have both been in Africa, who both husband and wife lean over the table and say to me, when I talk about these issues, they say, Pastor, we don't care. We want to serve where the Lord needs us, and we trust that proper precautions will be taken. So it's an amazing thing. I felt very concerned about that. We're recruiting. We always recruit about 3 months out, 4 months out for the next Board for International Missions call meeting. Right now, we have 10 names that we plan on putting before the Board for International Missions of people who want to go to Africa, 11 names.
We have to wrap it up real quick here, but how can people find out more if they're interested in mission work themselves or want to pass on the information to someone? How can they get in touch with you?
Well, you can honestly write me at dan.mcmiller@lcms.org, and I'm on that email all day, every day. And call also my own cell phone number is 414-882. And a wonderful last four digits randomly given to me by Verizon once upon a time, 1530. So 414-882-1530, Craig.
Pastor Dan McMiller, thanks so much for being with us on His Time today.
Thank you for the privilege.
God bless. We'll be back with Bible study right after this.